Have you heard this story? It's the story of a man who was poor and yet possessed the kingdom of God. It's a story of people who were hungry and yet were satisfied. A story of weeping turned to laughter. A story of a man hated and excluded and reviled on account of Jesus Christ. And yet it is a cause for rejoicing in God's promises revealed and fulfilled. I have never met Robert Sfeldt, but I heard about him from those who had and those who knew him. Robert's story, or rather the story of what God did through him and for him, has been an inspiration to many people. In 1950, Robert Sfeldmanis was sent to the Gulag in Siberia. Now, it was no big deal to go to Gulag in 1950. It seemed that everyone was doing it. This was the way things went in Stalin's Soviet Union. What was unusual about Robert Sfeldmanis, as far as it goes, was that he went to the Gulag and actually came back again. He was Latvian and a Lutheran pastor, and most Latvian Lutheran pastors never made it out of the Gulag alive. Sfeldmanis had been sent to Siberia for a special study program, the Soviets called it, to be re-educated out of Christianity into communism and for the hatred of God. But God was merciful to Sfeldmanis, and the re-education didn't take, and Stalin died, and after 4 years, Sfeldmanis was released. But when he came back to Soviet Latvia, things were not going well. The church there was being destroyed. The government confiscated church buildings and turned them into factories and warehouses and machine shops. And only those churches that were falling into ruins were left undisturbed. Officially, as an institution, the church no longer existed. But there were still Christians in Latvia, at least a few. And Pastor Sfeldmanis continued to serve them. And for the next 25 years, he served three tiny congregations in Riga and in the countryside. The church buildings had been looted and were completely empty, with only the four walls remaining. They had no money to buy anything. And yet Sfeldmanis always maintained that these congregations were, in his words, richly blessed. But over time, Pastor Feldmanis' story seemed increasingly to be a tale of sorrows. During the 1960s and 70s, there was hardly anyone in his churches. They were empty. No one came except for a few old people. He was preaching to a dying congregation. He called people to come to Jesus to hear of his salvation and the promises of God's kingdom. And yet people on the outside mocked him and asked him, "Why are you wasting your time?" Well, he replied that we are here to preach the gospel and we will stand our ground. And years went by, and then finally something changed. During the early 1980s, 10 years before the collapse of the Soviet Union, people started coming back to church. And gradually, Sfeldmanis' churches filled with people again, especially the young people. Sfeldmanis reported that among the first to come to the churches were the sick, the social outcasts, and the down and out. And yet the congregations grew, they flourished. The impact was dramatic. Hundreds of people were baptized and became Christians. And over a 15-year period, the congregations served by Pastor Robert Sfeldmanis produced more than 50 pastors for the churches in Latvia. The Lord richly blessed his people. Feldmanis actively served the church in Latvia for more than 65 years before his death in 2002 at the age of 92. He was a Lutheran before the Soviet Union was founded, and he was a Lutheran after it collapsed. He didn't do anything sophisticated or complicated. He preached the simple, clear gospel of Jesus and the promises of the kingdom of God. Well, we hear Jesus' promises of the kingdom of God in our gospel reading for this morning. Crowds of people from far and wide came to see Jesus and touch him. There were people sick with diseases, those tormented by unclean spirits. There were people poor and hungry, weeping and mourning. They were the despised, the outcasts, the vilified. And Jesus received them and healed them all. And then turning to his disciples, Jesus spoke to them with blessings and promises. Here again, Jesus' words to his disciples, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets." What kind of blessing and promising is this? Who is blessed because of being poor? Who is blessed for their hunger and their weeping? Who is blessed because they're despised and insulted and cast out? Who are these? Whom do you think of? Someone you know? Do you think of those who have gone before us in the faith? Do you see someone like Roberts Feldmanis and his Latvian Lutherans? Do you see yourself now? But isn't this where we have a problem? Doesn't it seem too often that the blessedness and the promises are suppressed by the sheer weight of the sorrows? Things aren't going very well. Look around in the world. Look around maybe in your own life. The disappointment and frustration and futility, sometimes it seems that they never end. It's not supposed to be like this. Aren't we tempted to doubt God when everything around us seems to be a contradiction of God, a refutation of him, a victory by the enemy, a victory and triumph of lies? Are we tempted to think that God is not keeping his promises to us? Blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry, the weeping, the rejects, and outcasts. Who wants to be in a kingdom that congratulates what the world despises? A kingdom that rejects what the world celebrates? But when we recognize, when we admit to ourselves the true nature of our problem, the seriousness of our situation, we see things differently. Like the crowds in Luke chapter 6 who are sick and need healing from their diseases, who are troubled because the devil has a hold of them, the only thing that we can do is come to Jesus. And coming to see Jesus and hearing him, coming to Jesus to be touched and healed by him, involves following him on his way. And on the way with Jesus, we recognize that we are poor, that we have nothing of our own to rely on. Our only hope is trusting in Jesus. This way enters the kingdom of God now. The people of God know hunger now. We feel the pangs of deprivation now, and even in this, we believe that Jesus promised that we shall be satisfied. As the people of God, of the kingdom of God, we weep now because we know of the evil in the world. We see how the world rejects God, hates God, rebels against him, and we understand how everyone in the world suffers because of this evil. And yet we believe Jesus promised that our weeping will one day turn to laughter. The only one that can fulfill these promises, the only one that can reverse and turn around and undo every sorrow, every suffering, every evil thing, the only one that can do this is the one that has the power to heal the sick and to drive out the unclean spirits. The only one who can do this is the one who has power over sin and death, the one who rises from death to life again, and life everlasting. Jesus was poor for us. He was hungry in the wilderness. He entered the way to Jerusalem weeping. He was hated and excluded and reviled, exiled to the cross as evil on account of us, for us. He went the way of the cross bearing our sins. He went to his death to offer himself for us. Our sins, our sufferings became his own. And in our place, he went into death. And for us, he rose to life again so that we may have his blessedness, his new life, his joy, his laughter, all his kingdom promises fulfilled. Great is our reward in heaven because of Jesus. Our reward is great in Jesus now. The prophets and the people of God in the past, haven't they always been treated like this? As people of the kingdom of God, we go the way with Jesus. We do suffer on account of him. We are hated and persecuted, and in this way, we are blessed. Jesus promised for us, and we rejoice and leap for joy. This is the way with Jesus in his kingdom. This is the way with Jesus and his people in the kingdom who are richly blessed according to his saving promises. Blessed are you in the name of Jesus. Amen.